tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
It's not college basketball. It's Clarence
Time! Let's get ready to rumble! Feel the fires under the rear. It's nice and only know how to wear.
What is up, Friday Nighters? Welcome back to another edition, another episode of Just Another Friday Night. I'm one of your two hosts, CM Chuck.
I'm Double A.
That's Adamantium Adam, guys. Double A, how the hell are you, bud?
Good.
Guys, you're catching us not live tonight, per se, because, well, we pre-recorded this for you all. Again, we had a family obligation, so we know you guys all understand, but we still wanted to provide you with some content, something to discuss and talk about, so we hope that you'll enjoy. Also, this is something we wanted to talk about for a while, but we were kind of waiting and holding out. But in the meantime, Double A, was there any, like, I know in real time, there hasn't been that many days passed since we just did a show, but any news or anything of note that you feel?
Let me see. Preseason's like in its second week, I think, already.
Are there games today?
I don't know about, there has to be probably today. Okay. I know there's a lot of games yesterday. The Cowboys played yesterday.
And they lost to Seattle.
And they lost Houston played, and they lost two to Miami. Okay. So, but I mean, it's preseason. That's where you try out everybody. You know, you see who's going to make the team. Clean off some rust, you know, that's what, I mean, that's what the preseason is for, you know, so we got that going.
We're getting, my Patriots are getting your old boy, Zeke on our team, huh? How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to go well because I think Belichick's going to use him the way Dallas was using him.
Okay.
Third and one.
Yeah.
Third, you know, the third and go.
Pound it in.
Because he's still really good for that kind of shit. And just wearing down defenses, you know, he might not be as good as he was a few years ago, but you know, he's a big running back. He's gonna be, you know, bulldozing into those linemen, those defensive linemen. So to get them kind of beat up themselves, and then if Belichick has like another running back, you know, behind him, you know, boom, you know, he can
absolutely,
you know, do it. So I think it's gonna be good.
Sometimes those guys have something to prove left. You know what I mean, they got something in the tank. So
So interesting, and you know, 1 year for $6 million, that's a badass contract.
Nice little check, right?
Yeah, that's a really great check, you know. So I think Belichick's gonna use his strengths and, you know, kind of hide the weaknesses, like they always say. So he's really good at doing all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah. Belichick's a master strategist, so I have, you know, full faith in him. You know, the rest of the team, I mean, we gotta see how it goes.
I mean, you know, I mean, he's gonna do it. Watch, Belichick's gonna put that team together. You know?
I think so.
I know the I think Washington. Apparently, there's some Indian group that wants to change the name back to the Redskins.
Interesting.
It's probably not going to happen. No matter how many signatures they get, it's probably just not going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, I would say that that comes from like a marketing standpoint. They've gone through all this effort to switch it over. It's like, we've already released merchandise and all that. We're not
It's only for like maybe 2 years. And one of them, 1 year, it's like the Washington football team.
Yeah.
And then this was like the Washington Commanders, you know? So, I mean, it's.
Hey, don't forget, San Antonio Commanders were first.
Yeah, no shit, right? Yeah.
Double A, did you hear about this on-field injury? It was between, I think, the Patriots. One of the Patriots players got hurt against the Packers, and they stopped play.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of similar, I think, to what happened with Hamlin. Oh. Pretty much the guy went down, didn't get back up. I didn't see it. I didn't see clips, but I saw people talking about it.
No, I didn't.
So, always scary. You know, prayers to that guy's family, and hopefully everything's okay. But they said that the teams both, I guess, mutually decided not to continue play. I mean, it is preseason, like you said.
Yeah,
that kind of injury, you know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
So getting scary, man. I mean, you know, you would think that with all the precautions now, how come people are still getting hurt?
Well, because the thing is that these guys are just getting better.
Yeah.
These guys are so much stronger, so much leaner, so much faster, you know.
The level of athleticism is raised.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not the 70s and 80s where the linemen were big, you know, big fat dudes that couldn't run. These guys are fucking slim. These guys are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 330 pounds, 350 pounds. I mean, you know, I mean, and these wide receivers or whatever, you know, the offensive people, they're not big dudes.
Right.
You know, they're little dudes. They're 6 foot, 6'1", you know, 200 and something pounds. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going to, you know, injuries are going to happen more and more, you know, as these guys are getting better and better.
It's kind of interesting, right, to hear you say that when it's like people are out of shape, but they could take a beating back then, you know what I mean?
That's so, what I'm saying, you know, it's like, you know, LT was a wonder because that dude can move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was like, yeah. He was like one of those, like, whoa, what the fuck is this position?
Yeah.
Now it's like everybody is like that level, right. You know, of speed and intensity.
Your lineman and your O-line, you know what I mean? I think about Vince Wilfork, you know, and he was in the Patriots, and it was like, man, he was just like this big, like, mound of a man, you know what I mean? It's you don't really see guys like that.
Look at my two guys. Look at DeMarcus Ware, you know, he's slim. He was fucking slim, and he was a defensive end, you know? And my guy, Michael Parsons. He's fucking slim too. Like, he doesn't look like a defensive dude. He looked like he could be a tight end or something,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I mean, it's like, geez, these guys are just, you know, they're so much better shape now. So,
and it makes you think, right? Like, how the coaching staff are strategizing, where they're like, we want to beat off of the, you know, to, you know, to get to the quarterback. Yeah, you know, there, and you're like, oh damn, that's you know, again, you're the sport modernized, like we talked about just on our last episode with De La Hoya, where it's like you outgrow your coaching. You're like, okay, you've only taught me already everything you can. I need to advance now. So you kind of got to grow with the sport. So interesting stuff. Always look forward to football. We're here at Just Another Friday Night. We look forward to
and then just some like really bad weather. Like Canada again is going through like some real bad wildfires right now.
Mm-hmm.
The West Coast is getting slammed by Hurricane Hillary right now.
That's right.
The East Coast, it has like a tornado in Rhode Island that just ripped through. Rhode Island. I was like, wow, did they get
in Rhode Island?
Yeah, that's why I was like, whoa, holy crap.
The weather's bananas. In our personal group, right? Didn't we just see that we're about to hit that record you mentioned about the 59 days of straight over 100?
Yeah.
And I've been hearing about the warm waters in the Gulf potentially.
Don't swim in the water if you can. Yeah. Because that warm water is only letting like all these things come alive, all these bacteria and shit like that.
But also that they were saying, Double A, that it's potentially lining up storms, multiple hurricanes in the Gulf. So it's always like that's just crazy. So funny.
If we keep going this way, I keep saying that there might be a time somewhere down the future where they're going to tell everyone to stay home for like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Just to see if, you know, the earth can heal itself like it did it during, you know, during COVID. You know,
or
when everything kind of settled down, it seemed like everything was clearing up, the water kind of cleared up,
right?
You know, the sky, weather, the sky,
just took a little bit,
even closed up that little ozone,
right? Makes you wonder, right? AA, did maybe if COVID was manufactured, send it out to us to help fix the world.
and you know, not only that, but I'm thinking too, you know, there's going to be a time that if we do keep going at this pace too, that, you know, there might be days where it's going to be so hot that they might tell a lot of people you can't work outside anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not talking about like 5 years from now. I'm talking about like way in advance, but still it's like we can do something now to kind of fix that problem. Because,
just look at where we live, AA, where we live here in San Antonio, Texas, it's pretty much hot 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that means it's not, like,
yeah, I mean, October
and in those 2 months, it's not even really cold.
October was the time you used to kind of start cooling down.
Yeah.
November was where it would start getting really cold, like, especially towards the end. And December was our fucking cold month. Now it's gone all the way to January and February. Now that's like our cold months.
It's crazy.
I would remember still working in December, still sweating my ass off in December. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is
crazy. I have
crazy.
Many Christmas pictures with shorts on and tank tops and short sleeves. Like, it's
like, this is Christmas, right?
Yeah. People talk about wanting to escape the north in like the cold weather, but it's like you don't have to come very far. I mean, like, you don't have to go to Florida anymore. It's like you can go pretty much anywhere like in the south and be like, it's gonna be hot, you
know? So man, a lot of people are facing some pretty bad situation right now, you know, like Maui, you know, that's just
situation. Yeah, definitely.
And then like you said, Canada, man, they're saying there's like 1,000 wildfires going on right
that's
now.
Crazy,
so,
man.
Yeah,
that's
so crazy. Hopefully all our friends up there in Canada are doing all right.
Yeah, man.
Man,
prayers for safety for our Canadian friends and everyone that's up there. You know, anyone experiencing any kind of extreme weather is. I think Double A's right. The only solution is going to just be like, you know what? Stay home for these months.
Yeah, because right now no one is giving us a solution for any of this.
Yeah.
Right now it's just, oh, okay, well, we'll worry about that, you know, next year.
I mean, like, if you don't think that the earth is heating up, it's already.
It's hot.
It's super hot. And I'm like, I don't know how much longer we gonna make it, AA. I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Either that or they're gonna tell us all. Can you imagine? I was talking about how that top part of Canada is like real frozen, right? It's like if that shit becomes habitable, it's like we're gonna all have to move up and migrate north.
Shrinking,
exactly. Well, enough about that fucking fear-inducing thing. In the time that we've had, I saw the Blue Beetle, AA. I know you haven't gone.
No, yet. I haven't, but I'm going to go see it. My family all of a sudden said they want to go see it, so I was all right.
Like I told you on our last episode, my nephew was super excited for it, so we made it a point to go. We went, and my sister, my mom, my sister, my dad, my girlfriend, myself, and him. I think we all thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really good. I could hear the whole crowd laughing and, like, you know.
Well, I did hear it went number one. Okay. It made less than $30 million, though.
Okay.
And it just beat out Barbie, though, for female. So, again, it could be, you know, DC kind of shooting itself in the foot by saying it wasn't part of the expanded universe.
Right.
Again, you know, it could be that again. Yeah. That they, you know, where James Gunn came out again and said, no, that's not part of my lineup. Oh, okay, well, why the fuck are we going to be watching it then?
Right. I mean, which is, again, I mean, like, I kind of feel as though he's trying to cover his ass where it's like, he shouldn't have said anything. Because if it would have done well, he'd have been okay.
He really shouldn't. They should have came out and just be like, you know, like, yeah, this is our new wave of movies coming out or something.
Again, I said it before. If Marvel is a you know, West Coast rap, it's like DC is definitely East Coast rap in the 90s, and and Gunn is fucking Puff Daddy all up in the videos, and you got, you know, Feige, who's like Suge Knight, like, you know,
or not even that, Dr. Dre putting out the good beats.
You know, but that famous quote where Suge Knight's like, if you want to be you don't want to be with the producer all in the video rapping on the video on the tracks, it's like, come to death row.
I'm like, Suge Knight's a very scary looking dude.
Yeah. And I'm just like, too, like, come on, James Gunn, like, just let things play out, man. I mean,
yeah,
like,
them coming out and saying that, the constantly coming out and saying this ain't part of my universe, this ain't, well, fuck, I mean,
yeah,
why do we want to see it then?
And I will say this, our friend from Tis the Podcast, Anthony Caruso, he reached out to me one-on-one and asked me, he goes, if you guys ever want to talk about the, you know, again, he does a show called DC Unlimited also, where it's like, you know,
it's like every episode, right? It's about DC, right?
I think so, yeah. And the ongoing news and things like that. Yeah. I'm curious to see what they say about Blue Beetle. But I mean, he was like, if you guys ever want to talk, because I mean, I think he's a gun believer, a gun enthusiast.
No, and I want to be. I want Superman to fly high again. Yeah. You know, it's just, this guy just needs to stop coming out saying that this ain't part of my universe. This one ain't part of my universe. Right. You know, it's kind of like, well, shit, you know, that might be one of the reasons why.
And I will tell you this, his partner is that guy, that Saffron, right? Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. His Peter, name is on the front of this movie. So I'm like, what's up with that? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to say he's not part of it when this guy's name is on it? You know what I mean? So it's very confusing. And I think it leaves fans feeling like,
confused.
Feeling like how we feel, conflicted, right? I'm like, you know.
But again, you know,
I'm
what? Like, that's always been DC's thing, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, always. It's like every time they get themselves in so much, like, entanglements with their own characters, they do a crisis.
Yeah.
To, okay, now we can clean this slate. And we can start doing another kind of origin for these characters. It happens like almost every 5 to 6 years. DC lets everyone just go out, and then it's kind of like, whoa, we need to clean this up again. Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah. It's almost like stop muddying the water. Stop. Like, you're making things worse or whatever. But okay. And again, this is coming from guys that we can probably say, like, single story wise, like, DC might have better single stories.
I mean,
or whatever.
The animated division of DC just fucking
crush
it.
Yeah, they crush
they're,
it. Yeah.
They have one of the best animated movie libraries, you know, out of everyone. Like, I'm talking about Pixar, I'm talking about Disney, I'm talking about, you know, Illumination, DreamWorks, whatever you want to say. DC's fucking animation department is top notch, extremely top notch. Those movies are like 10 times better than the movies that they keep producing.
I'm like,
like, maybe, by far.
It's weird, right, to have like success there but then not have success. It's like, why don't you tap those guys on the shoulder and get a little bit of the rub from them.
I don't know what they do in the animation department, but man, they fucking kill it. From like the Justice League cartoons to just the animated movies, they just fucking kill it.
Seriously.
All the time. And they know how to integrate people. They know how to integrate characters in the animated movies. It's fucking nuts. I don't know. I don't know.
It's baffling with them.
And it's nuts too. Like, honestly, like, I like James Gunn's movies, but it's kind of surprising that, you know, out of like the Russo brothers, who were the architects of the Avengers and everything, and the Cat movies, it's kind of like, I wonder how come they didn't get those guys. Those guys look like they know how to handle a big universe.
Well, I wonder,
you know,
if,
like,
maybe
Gunn was kind of like the Guardians. He took care of the outer space shit, you know. Yeah. But it was kind of like, the Russos are the ones that are.
Do you think maybe because they tapped Joss Whedon after the success of the Avengers, and then it was a flop with JLA, they were like, we don't want Marvel guys. I mean, Gunn is a Marvel guy, but what I mean is, like, you know, like,
well, I mean, Joss Whedon though was supposed to be like that fucking superstar kind of director. Well, like, that was like a big coup. when Marvel got here to direct the Avengers, remember, it was like, oh my gosh, Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, all right.
And you would have thought he worked the same magic with JLA, but.
I think it was just too much bullshit with that movie that even he probably couldn't fix, because you remember Snyder had already filmed most of it. And it's kind of like, okay, well, shit, what do you want me to do? I think he was probably going in with that kind of attitude. Like, all right, well, this movie's like done.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? So, I mean, I don't know. Just.
Like, and not only that,
just always has a history, and you would think Jim Lee would fucking rein that down a little bit.
I don't know if he has that much power when it comes to the movie
guy in DC.
That's what I thought, but maybe with the movies is different. Like Warner Brothers is still the overruling hand. You know what I mean?
So, you're right.
They don't have to say.
Yeah, you're right.
I will say this before, you know, because I'm hoping AA sees it. We may even cover it if AA is like, yeah, let's talk
about
it.
We are going to watch it.
I liked it, you know what I mean? So, and I'd be happy to talk about it. I'd be happy to talk about it on someone else's show if we don't talk about it on my show, because I thought that it was interesting, you know what I mean? And good. So, but again, yeah. Again, guys, it's really only been like a day and a half since we did a show, so we don't have a lot to say or whatever regarding. Now, something may have happened this week, but again, this is pre-recorded, so you'll find out. We'll find out when you find out. But, without all that, AA, we could just probably hop into it, right?
Yeah, let's just get into it, yeah.
All right, guys, so before I throw up the little banner for what we're going to talk about today, primarily, because we're talking about two things. We haven't done this in a while, right? We did kind of like
two topics. Yeah, it's been like almost, I want to say maybe the Black Widow,
Loki
one.
Yeah,
maybe.
And even then, looking back, I think we both thought, we're like, man, Loki really could have
used its own episode.
Yeah, because it was really, really rich. But I think we wanted to give Black Widow its credit, which was a fine movie, you know what I mean?
Like, I liked it. Yeah, I was fine with it. Yeah, I liked it. I think what it was is that they just did it in such a wrong order.
Yeah.
I think if that one had came out before Endgame, I think that movie would have been a bigger hit.
Right. You know, it's kind of like when you like order your food and then like your salad comes out at the same time. You're like, well, I don't want the fucking salad now. Like,
yeah,
I wanted the salad to warm me up.
You know? Because it was kind of like everyone knew she died, so it was kind of like, well, okay, well, this is. All right. Yeah.
You know, and Florence Pugh was excellent, and David Harbour was excellent, and Scarlett was excellent. So it's a good movie. You know, it's just like AA said, it's kind of like, again, wrong timing. Like,
yeah, it was real wrong timing.
Right, you know?
Yeah. It's like I told you, it's like The Walking Dead when they announced the three shows. It was kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And these are all after The Walking Dead. Oh, okay.
And not to go back to shooting on gun, but it's the same thing too. It's like, I'm like, stop saying so much stuff. Like,
you really
stop announcing everything.
Yeah, he really does.
Like, just let it roll out. Like, we'll be fine or whatever. Like, I feel like.
Can you imagine if he hadn't said nothing? And then all of a sudden, like, when it was right about time, like maybe 3 months before, you know, he shoots up a Superman logo.
Oh, my God.
You know, right there.
Just hearing it. That gave me chills. Just hearing about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you remember the days, AA, when you didn't know something was going to come out? You go to theater, you see a trailer, you'd be like, oh,
my goodness.
That fucking trailer looked badass. Like, you'd be talking to everybody. You were trying. We were trying to like sneak into movies to see Star Wars trailers. Like it was like it was that fucking important. So this and again, I said this before about it, but it reminds me of the LeBron James thing, the decision.
The
decision.
I'm like,
fuck, dude, seriously? Like, get over yourself, bro. Really. Like, that's horrible. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I said it at the end of our write up. So, you know, our primary topic is going to be, but at the end of our write up, I let you guys know that we did want to talk about the last three episodes of The Witcher that came out for season 3. So those have come out. They've been out now for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did have a chance to watch them early on or whatever, but we just didn't know where it would really fit in because it's just
three episodes. Yeah, because it was just 3 episodes. And we're kind of like, man, maybe like if something else comes out, maybe we can put this in another episode or something.
Yeah.
We just didn't think it would be like a whole episode to talk about The Witcher.
And our primary topic is kind of a short one. It's about 1:20. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, I told TM, I was mush like, them in there. So
perfect. Yeah.
All right, AA. So let's go back to The Witcher, right? We know it's Henry Cavill's last season.
Yeah, that's it.
Super sad. It makes me super sad, especially like when I fucking see him. Like, I really need, it's Liam, right?
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth.
I really need Liam to have the fluidity with the sword and the action. And not only that, but just Geralt. He is Geralt. But Henry Cavill looks so commanding when he's swinging the sword around, when he's fucking killing guys.
I don't think
that's
going to be the problem for Liam. I think it's just, how is he going to do the performance-wise? Like, all the action stunts and everything, I don't think he's going to have a problem with anything.
Right.
Yeah, it's just going to be, can he come across, like you said, as commanding as Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
As sure as Henry Cavill, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And there's something about, too, that Henry Cavill has, like, a little bit of an edge to him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Liam will just be, like, kind of a pretty boy. I've never seen him have a real edge to him, you know what I mean? So,
Expendables, he was good.
A little bit,
you know, the Hunger Games, especially the last one, he was all right,
there,
you know?
Kind of hitting that way, Okay, maybe there could be some.
But it's kind of like, damn, you know, like, if you want it, like, an action guy from them, too,
Yeah.
You know, it was like, damn, it's too bad we didn't get Chris. Yeah. Too bad Thor wasn't available.
He's too Thor to be Geralt, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen Snow White movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And even the one that he did.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he looked like Geralt there, you know? The long hair, the beard. Yeah. Chris Hemsworth? No, Chris
Hemsworth. Oh, Chris. Oh, right. Yeah, remember
part two?
Yeah, definitely.
That he does? Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I saw both of them.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely in part two. You look like, you could be like, oh, shit, you know, that's Geralt right there.
All right. I should check that out for sure. But yeah, so when we left off, when we did our previous episode, so if you want to hear the first part of the season, go listen to our prior episode about The Witcher. And then I guess listen to the first, like, you know, well, we just talked about 20 minutes. So fast forward to the 20-minute part, and then hear the end of that season right here. We'll try to keep it short, because it was just three episodes that came out, right? It was kind of interesting. Just three. Released it was five
eight,
and three.
It was eight total. First five came out, and then the last three came out.
And I know, why not release it like 4 and 4, but...
I don't know what the fuck they were doing. I think they were really, really trying to, like, milk the Henry Cavill stuff. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's weird.
But again, like, shit like that kind of, like, throws the audience for
it a really does. Boy,
right? Because I'm like, oh, again, I gotta go back and watch the rest of The Witcher.
Yeah, you know? Especially again when you know that he's gonna be leaving. It's kind of like, man, like, you really can't milk shit like that anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Once you tell people that actor's not gonna be on there, it's gonna be like, oh, why should we see this shit then?
Once again, it's like, we have too much knowledge about this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, much, okay, well, you kind of, you know, they might have been able to, I'm not saying pull a fast one, but might have been like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But who knows? It might have been a crazy uproar. It would have just happened and nobody knew. But anyway, so at the end of episode 5, we see this is where the very like last thing that happens is...
That's when they had that party. Remember that big party where you kind of seen, it's like almost like a mystery. Like a crime mystery. You know, you see everyone's point of view. And you actually see what they're really talking about, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they think it's this one mage that's the one that's causing all the havoc.
Mm-hmm.
You find out it's not. It's Tisaya's man.
I was just saying this.
I hate these fucking names from these sword and sorcery because they always fucking.
Yeah, run. And I was like, did they intentionally try to make the names harder than fucking Game of Thrones? I think it's Vigelvolt. It sounds cool. Vigelvorts. It's like Voldemorts.
Yeah, no shit.
I know. And then what's his name? Dykstra, right? That's what's his name. So like the very last thing that happens in that episode 5 is like Dykstra's got a knife at Geralt's throat. And then you're kind of like, okay, like what happened? So then we had to wait like a couple of weeks or whatever.
Maybe a month.
And then it came out. And it does pick up right there where Dykstra's got the... And then we're seeing there's a beginning of a coup going on, right? Mm-hmm. And... Pretty much Geralt tells him in the beginning, he's like, you're going to attack mages in their fucking home base.
Yeah, their temple.
That Artusa or whatever they're at.
Yeah, Artusa.
Yeah, and while they're all gathered, he's like, not very smart, you know what I mean? But then he informs him, well, half of them have already kind of converted over to us. So remember, they want that Rodinia or whatever to kind of, I guess, be like the leading kingdom.
Yeah.
A lot of like politics are shoved into this that are unfortunately, they're not very interesting as like maybe like say Thrones or whatever, you know.
Well, not just that, but you know, I was just, like when I first saw season one, I was like, oh wow, this is gonna be pretty damn cool. Like he's hunting like all these fucking monsters.
I'm with you.
You know, and it, you know, he drinks that shit that makes his eyes all go black and
love that.
Gets a little extra strength going. You know, I was kind of like, damn, okay, dude, this show's cool. They would have just stuck to that, but yeah, it got real political.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Game of Thrones now.
Or trying to be. And that's very hard to live up to, first of all.
That is very hard.
That level of, like, you know...
Detail.
Right.
And, you know, and...
To the point where Game of Thrones sometimes doesn't have a lot of action, but you're still interested. Well, this
and
show...
they had so much more characters that were really likable.
Yeah.
I mean, I like The Witcher and everything, but it's only, like, a few characters that you really get into.
Probably really the primary four, which is Geralt, you know, Ciri...
Jaskier and Yennefer.
Yeah, I gotta say, when they're not on the screen, the show kind of does lack, you know what I mean? And also, too, like, when the action is happening, it's like, it's badass. I would have loved, like Double A said, if it would have been a show about him in the season one trying to find Ciri, and then he eventually does, and then, like, you know, the whole thing with him and Yennefer, the back and forth was cool, and then if they would have, like, maybe eventually, like, started to train her, and them to kind of be, like, her parent figures, that would have been cool. And throughout the time they're fighting monsters, that sounds like an A-plus show. And Jaskier, for comedic relief, perfect. But then they mix in these elves and wizards and fucking kingdoms.
And there's other worlds, like other portals and shit like that.
You don't need all that. Yeah. It was already like kind of legit the way it was.
Yeah, because like in Siri too, like in the seventh episode, she's like, I don't even think she's on the same planet.
Plane.
I think she's somewhere else. So it's kind of like, well, shit. Then you got to kind of really kind of follow that kind of stuff too.
Right.
Kind of like shit, you know?
And it's kind of neat to get like a solo Siri episode, but then it's kind of like she's stuck in the desert by herself most of the time. So you're like, it's left.
Maybe that would have worked out in an earlier episode instead of already this late in the stage of the thing.
Or really what I think this would have benefited from was maybe like cutting back and forth between what's happening in the final episode where Geralt's recovering from his battle with, what's his name?
Vigilforts,
whatever. So yeah, we find out, you know, that guy's like the primary asshole.
So his name is called, it's spelled V-I-L-G-E. So that's what I'm thinking, the Vigil.
Oh, it's Vilgefortz. That's how they're saying it.
Okay, and then it's F-O-R-T-Z.
Yeah, Vilgefortz. Yeah, now I'm remembering how they were saying it. Yeah, so he gets in this battle.
Which again, right, when you're an author, it's like, fuck, where do you come up with the spelling and the pronunciation?
You know, like they talk about like Siri and then some of the places they're from, it's like Rodinia and then Rodan, and there's I'm like, why do you make the name so fucking close? Like, it's like, all right, but I guess you don't want like Jeff in there, you know what I mean?
Jeff.
So episode six is cool because then it's like this big fight, like the mages fight, you know what I mean? The other mages, and then they fight the elves show up, right?
The elves show up through a portal that one of them makes, Philippa, I think she knows.
Yeah. So there's some good fighting going on, and then people get captured, and then like some of the main people get captured. They have him there, and they kind of don't capture Geralt right away. They're kind of letting him be like, oh, you can choose sides or whatever, you know? And they want to see, like, Yennefer, you know, what side is she going to choose? But she's concerned about Tisea.
Yeah.
Because she's...
She tapped into that whole chaos magic.
Right. Because she's trying to defend their home or whatever.
Yeah, and that's the only option she feels like that's left is if she just taps into all that. It's a really cool display of power and everything.
Right. I like when she comes in at first when they have people locked up. They're like, why isn't she in chains? And she's like, because I would have melted their faces if they'd have put me in chains. And at this point, she doesn't really know about Vilgefortz yet.
No one does.
Yeah, except Geralt and Yennefer. They're kind of like, they figured it out, because he mentions finding that.
Yeah.
Yennefer finds that amulet, and he says they only have that jewel in that cave where he found those weird, like, women in the previous thing. That was gross. So they're aware, and he's kind of trying to call him out, Geralt. And at this point, Tisea's like, first you said it was Stegerborn, and now you're saying it's him. She's like, who are you going to name next? And he's like, well, you know, I know, you know what I mean? But she's not listening. Of course, she's in love, so there's that.
That always sucks,
Yeah. What happens next, Double A? They get out and they start to...
I think that's when the elf, too, she has her carry moment. Like, after they decide, I think, blows up her brother, elf brother. She's, like, covered in blood. And all of a sudden, like I said, it's like... She does like a carry. She's like, she has TK powers apparently.
I was gonna say
she locks all the doors and brings this fucking like fire ring.
Yeah, down that's on right. Them, that's right. You know? Which I'm always confused too, because I'm like, would the elves have powers?
That's like, why I was like, what like, the I'm like, fuck?
I never know what the fuck is going on. Like, I'm like, okay, I guess everybody has magic.
Yeah, I was like, damn. So
they have not alluded to this yet, so we're kind of discovering it as we watch the show. So I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, even as much as they talk about Ciri's power, I'm like, she still ends up being in trouble a lot, and I'm like,
too much.
And everyone too wants to have her to have this power, and I'm like, if she's that powerful, basically you're gonna control her.
Yeah.
I'd be like, eventually I'll just vaporize your ass.
Eventually, that's going
to
happen.
Right. Yeah. That's like the whole Dr. Manhattan thing, whatever. I'm like, oh, you're not going to control him. You just better hope that he's on your side.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So...
Yeah. Remember what it was? God is real and he's American.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Stregoborn comes out.
He ends up being kind of a hero.
He does, because he's like, you know, he
hates much, elves.
Yeah, he hates fucking elves. So. This is like his fucking big moment to like evaporate like so many of them, you know?
Right.
And he comes out pretty much and saves whatever's left of the mages.
Yeah.
In that battle. So.
And they also, that allows them a chance to like portal out and get away some of them or whatever. So,
and then
like,
this is like at the end of that too, Vigil, how do you say
his Vilgefortz?
Vilgefortz and Garrot have their sword fight, which apparently he outclasses Garrot like
that. I thought that sucked.
Like,
I
was real like, bad. I was like,
this guy is like a major badass or yeah, like, with some rod, like a steel rod or whatever. I was like, he basically had Mando's Beskar rod or whatever and used that to like beat Garrot down. I was like,
yeah, bro. He's like playing with like Garrot.
Like, I was what, like, what, wow. I don't like about that AA2 is like, it's like, You didn't build this guy up to show us that he was gonna be good. You know what I mean? Like,
they showed him where, like, in season two, where you can tell he was like, whatever he had served, whoever he had served, got he got really into the sword fighting shit. Mm. Like, he really got into the strategic shit. He really got into war.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's what it kind of showed. And then when he came back, it was kind of like that's all he wanted to do with the mages was go to war.
Right,
go to war with this people and this people and.
I always loved those.
Kind of hinted that you know, he really got into the fucking blood shit, the bloodlust shit. So
I always love it though, AA, when it's like there's been like think about like Dark Knight trilogy, right? Like, Bane in Dark Knight Rises. It's like they fight the first time. We see how they're kind of like, you know, Batman's getting outclassed or whatever, but it's like he's like not knocked out. He's kind of hanging in there, trying all his shit before Bane just like shows him, "Nah, I got you all the way."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, or when you think about like, you know, Bucky and Cap, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the Winter Soldier, it's like you see him and you're kind of like, oh, damn, they're evenly matched. Trevlin and Bond, that's like always makes for an exciting fight, right? Where you're like, okay, like, it's like, I'm like, you know, all this time we've seen Geralt being like a major badass, whatever. And I was like, this guy kind of comes out of nowhere.
You never really see this dude doing like where he should be on like on the same level as a Witcher.
Right.
Like the Witcher are supposed to be like almost the top of the heap. Like, you don't want to get into a sword fight with these dudes.
And not only that, but they make him, they say he's a wizard. So I'm like, okay, like magic is his thing. But yeah, he's using like fighting skills.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, it seems like it's hinted at that he loved the idea of war and shit like that more than being a fucking mage.
I did like the one line from Geralt because he says, he tells me, he's like, pride will be your downfall. And he's like, steel will be yours. Which I was like, it wasn't though, because Geralt got beat up. I was like, well, fuck, man. So he's incapacitated. Like, wow. And it was kind of like, it left you feeling kind of flat.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like, it's pretty much damn near, he almost leaves him dead.
Yeah.
Like, he really comes close to fucking dying from the wounds.
Yeah.
I think in episode two is where they show, and he's like trying to heal, like,
right,
real bad. You know?
He ends up back in that forest with those chicks that are. Yeah. Are they elves too? Or are they? I don't know what the fuck they are. They're something, whatever. But.
Brock? Brocklin?
Yeah.
Brocklin?
Yeah.
So like, man. Again, it's kind of, it's spelled like Brokillon.
So it's like,
it's where Triss takes Geralt.
Yeah, Triss takes it there. Yeah, and that one elf is there, whatever. That one kid that's been with Ciri since like season one.
That's right.
And I keep
hoping
he'll die because I'm like, you're a traitorous bitch, and I hate you.
Yeah,
I'm
and then he just like kind of like just walks away.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
At one point, he's like, "Oh, if you see her again, tell her I forgive her." And I'm like, "No, no, you're sorry." Which he does. Like, and I'm sorry. And I'm like, "No, you should have led with the I'm sorry." I'm like, "Fuck you, man." I'm like
what? I was like, shit, what was it?
And then, AA, what's the one part, right? As much as I fucking loathe that elf queen storyline, there's one part where she's talking to Frangilla, and Frangilla admits about killing the baby. Yeah. And I'm like, why didn't you just kill her
why
right there?
Why didn't you just kill her right then and
like,
there?
Like, it doesn't make sense. It like, I was like,
if somebody tells you that they killed your baby so you can be a fighter again, it's kind of like, huh?
And she's like, you'll know what pain is, you'll pay. Yeah. You know, you will know. And I'm like, why just tell her right there? Just fucking break her neck or use your fucking TK powers to explode her head or whatever. I'm like, this is like, that's not
that was stupid.
That's solid.
That was
I was
stupid.
Like, that's a little bit of a
yeah, because the bitch just pretty much says, it was for your own good that I killed your baby. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Damn.
A little bit of janky storytelling right there. I was like, all right.
It's funny because this episode is like everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right,
like,
the Mike Tyson line.
I was like, huh?
That's a terrible title for that.
I was like,
what? Okay, you know?
You're taking Tyson shit?
Right, I'm like, you're not really lending to the fantasy realm right the Mike Tyson quote titles.
I
remember reading that too, and I was like, that's what this episode's called? But yeah. So it ends like that. Geralt defeated. Ciri blows up this tower.
She taps into her power and of the unstable monolith, and she destroys that tower.
Right, which inadvertently transports her somewhere. Or whatever. So the whole time they're trying to not let Ciri fall into the wrong hands, where she like blows herself into.
Yeah, so it's like she's gone. Geralt's fucking beat up, taken somewhere else,
and
Yen is with Tessaia and Eretusa.
Yeah, she's trying to rally.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay, all this time you guys got together. And
yeah.
Now you're all split up again.
Yeah, and she also has Tessaia there. She's turned white hair now, right? Because she tapped in the part. And I guess she finds out, too, that old dude's an asshole or whatever, right?
Vilgefortz. Yeah, the guy that was banging her.
Yeah, and giving her cheap jewelry from the cave of the monster women. Yeah, I was like, fuck, you're a sorry bastard. Man. So in the next one, which is called, what's it called? The one?
Out of the fire, into the frying pan.
This one I did not particularly care for, only because, it's Siri alone in the desert for a lot of time. Kind of like, in essence, I guess, trying to find herself or whatever. And she's getting visited by this, like, kind of like a spirit guide who's in a hood. You don't know who it is. And then, like, throughout, there's, like, this, the classic, right? The white horse, you know, I don't think about Jim Morrison.
Yeah, no shit, right?
It's a unicorn. There's this white unicorn that keeps showing up.
I was thinking, Blade Runner, too. I was like, the fucking unicorn. I was like,
she ends up banging some creature against a rock and eating it or whatever, hungry. And then she starts throwing up. She's, like, doesn't know where she is. She can't, like, I guess, contact anybody, like, however she would, reaching out through feelings or whatever. And so she's just kind of, like, having to reconcile, like, with herself and her powers and what she's going to do. And she kind of gets visited by, like, the ghosts of her past or whatever, her mother.
So it turned out to be a figure called Falca.
Falca, who was, like,
a half-elven princess who was burned at the stake for her crimes.
Yeah. When they show a statue of her earlier when they're in that one little first area where they're going to use Siri as bait. Yeah, when the elves first show up, and so that's when they're kind of telling the story of Falca or whatever, So, and what do you think? Double A, is that all on her mind, or is that like
no? So she's in some desert. She's still there because I forgot the bounty hunters. I'm kind of going over this. Mm-hmm. The bounty hunters get her, and that's where she's at in part three, in the eighth episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's still there. She's just in some fucking desert, just miles away from everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. And then she meets up with some. I guess other prisoners of these guys. They seem to think they know who she is.
Well, I mean, because she just has a very distinct look.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The green eyes, the blonde
hair. Green eyes, blonde hair, white skin.
Which we're going to find out, though. Apparently, there's more people that look like that than we originally thought. So.
Yeah, and this is like, Jack Skier comes back. He goes to Geralt, kind of apologizing, for Siri disappearing. Because he was supposed to be watching her the whole time.
Right.
Saying he wanted to get his sex going on there.
With Rodan?
Radovan.
Radovan. Yeah, so Radovan from Rodinia. I'm like, all right.
Fuck. Again. If you want to know the spelling, it's Radovid.
Radovid, yeah.
Yeah.
So is it this episode, the seventh one, or is it the eighth one?
It's the seventh one.
What happens with his brother?
Is it? Might be the last one. This one was very just serious.
Yeah, heavy. That's pretty much it. I mean, I don't think we'd even need to really elaborate on it anymore.
No, because it's just her. It's about her journey. The Falca kind of. She's actually kind of the one that helps her kind of.
Yeah.
Dig kind of deep in there.
Yeah, and then, like, with that vision she gives her, that last vision, where she's like, oh, you need to give in to your, release or whatever. And, she even sees, Geralt getting tortured.
Yeah.
And she tells her pretty much, everyone's going to turn on you.
Mm-hmm.
But then she seems kind of normal by the end. Or maybe she doesn't seem normal. She seems like she doesn't want to be Siri
anymore. Yeah.
Because we obviously see.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, she
ends up. She's everything. It's just, so far, she's just been on the run for, months.
Right.
Maybe even a year, at this point, just. Running from these people, running from these people, running from this and that. It's kind of like shit.
And she even throws out the Jon Snow line of, I don't want it. I don't want the power. So I'm assuming that, I think she had already alluded to what she really wanted was to kind of have a family with Geralt and Yen.
Yeah.
And be more of a witcher.
Just be a witcher.
Yeah, she wanted to be a witcher. She didn't really want to
be able to
queen.
Take care of herself. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or a princess. She didn't care about that stuff, so.
Yeah, at the end of this episode, Jaskier tells him that Ciri's being taken to Nilfgaard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like kind of how that episode ends, which we're like, huh? Because we're like, how did they get her?
Yeah, we're like, we know she's in the desert, right? Yeah. Or whatever. So, is this the same episode, though, where they show her with the other young guy and she ends up fighting in the bar?
No, that's going to be the third.
That's going to be the eighth
episode. Eighth one. Eighth.
Third episode.
I'm sorry. It's just like, man, this got split. And just...
Yeah. No, definitely. Okay, so let's roll right into that episode.
Yeah, because that's all it really was. I mean, there's.
And it shows pretty quickly that Geralt is there getting healing up in that forest or whatever with those people. Brooklyn. I want to say Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn.
I know.
Yeah, he's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yeah. No, he's in Brooklyn or whatever, and he's he wants to, of course, be classic, get up and go fight or whatever, but They're like, no, you got to heal or whatever. That chick is there, the archer, you know what I mean? Who keeps telling him, like, you'd have been dead or whatever, you know? So that's, like, her little thing, whatever. And
He keeps getting up. He keeps trying to fucking, like, I'm all right. I'm good to go and everything. And she's like, shit, if you had a major battle, you'd be dead. You'd be dead. You'd be dead. And it's like, shit, you're not fucking healed yet, buddy.
I just want to go back real quick, though. We kind of forgot to mention, when he's fighting Vilgefortz, whatever, that one sword shatters.
That fucking sword shatters.
That was kind of like, no, like the sword, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But.
That's right.
Yeah, but then in this, the third episode of the second half of the season, the eighth episode, this one chick there at Brooklyn is telling him, she's like, can he even carry a sword? Which, like, he tries and he can't, whatever. But they even try to give him some medicines, and they're like, yeah, it's not for mutants. It's for, you know, I guess elves or humans or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So they're just trying to get him better. Jaskier's there too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like Jaskier's, like, everywhere. I'm like, how is this guy?
How do you keep moving around?
Yeah, how do you keep moving around? How is he teleporting? Or
yeah, how do you meet it up with him?
Right, like, I feel like one moment he's here, it's everything, like,
somewhere
closed?
Far away.
He doesn't have a horse, you know what I mean? Why?
Yeah. So,
I think we're going to find out later, Jaskier's got something going on.
Some shit.
But a lot of times I feel like he's used as, like, our in into, like, you know, he's almost like our guide throughout the series, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that's going on.
I feel like that's what this whole thing is like his story.
Ooh. Jaskier?
Jaskier's
story. Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. As the bard writing the stuff. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's interesting. It's interesting. So this episode's like Geralt healing. We get to see that Ciri is at some...
She's being held kidnapped by some bounty hunters.
At a bar, and there's another guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking about whatever, right? Like, he asks her if she is who she is or something like that.
Yeah, and they're kind of a little weary because they, you know, obviously just don't know who anybody is around, you know, that period. There's no pictures. There's no there's no drawings or anything of what Ciri, Cirilla of Sintra looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
and these bounty hunters always just want to get paid, so...
It's just, you guys are very, again, it's, you know, white, blondish hair, white skin, green eyes, it's...
Right.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah. And we're also getting some of the story of Radovid, right? You know, he goes to his brother, the king, and he's like, you know, I'm not a good spy, and I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it just sucks. He's that classic brother that just sucks balls.
Yeah, well, and he's in love with Jaskier, so he wants to, like, leave or whatever. He's like, let me leave, and he tells his servant, like, go sell my things with furs and bring me all the coin you can, because he's, like, going to make his grand exit, right? Meanwhile, Dykstra's all fucked up, right? Because he gets fucked up by
him. Yeah, so the king is... Well, Geralt fucks him
up. That's right.
But then the king is kind of like, you know, I'm going to kill you, you know, for all your fuck-ups that you do.
Yeah.
Some shit like that. And somehow he convinces him to, I don't know, blame the other chick?
I forget what her name is all the time, whatever. But he goes to her, and he's supposed to kill her, I think.
Philippa.
And he has
the king orders him to kill her.
Right.
That's what it is. Yeah.
But he can't, because I guess, is he in love with her?
I think so. I think they have a relationship.
So he pulls a knife on her, but then he turns the knife to her and he's like, kill me instead and let it be blamed or whatever on blame everything on me or whatever. And she's like, you know, she looks like she's going to do it, but then she's like, I have another plan that's going to see everything through. And we've been seeing this woman throughout the halls, like, since a couple episodes back, whatever, like a short-haired woman. At first I thought it was a boy, but I guess it's a female.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like...
it's a female.
Yeah, because she hooks up with Philippa, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess that's her lover or something like that. I think it even shows them scissoring and stuff like that. I was like, all right. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you're going to watch for that, there's that. But
not a whole lot. Just, you
know, not a whole lot.
Go to porn if you want to
see. Yeah, because she's not that good looking either. But, but anyway, so like shortly after this, right, the king's been admiring this painting of himself.
Of himself, yeah. This king just fucking sucks.
You know, the brother sucks, though, but this king really sucks.
Like, Baltimore are just terrible.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this kingdom wants to be in charge? Like, y'all blow. I'm like, I'd rather trust the fucking hedgehog
like,
king.
Have you guys ever seen Godfather? It's like two Fredos, you know?
Yeah. Pretty much. So, you know, shortly after Philippa mentions, oh, I have a plan that's going to be in play, you see the king admiring the photo, and then just what, like blood, right? They sprayed across his painting, and then he's on the floor, and when his body drops, you see it's Philippa's lover or whatever that has just cut his throat or whatever.
Yeah.
He's, the king is dead, you know what I mean? So, you know.
And then they named this idiot king.
Radovid,
shortly after. Look like,
Which,
like, oh my god,
I guess was her whole plan, right? Double A, because I guess they felt like they could control him.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe a few episodes ago, he probably would have been happy, but after everything that's been happening, what's been going on, he's kind of like, oh my goodness, like, and now he's scared, obviously, because he's like, shit, these two are really the ones with the power.
Yeah, and she quickly says, like, oh, we need to fill the vacuum of power. We don't want our opponents thinking we're weak. Let's name the new king and long live Radovid, right? So maybe Jaskier will get to be the queen.
No, that dude wants to be the queen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. King Jaskier. I like it. You know?
Jaskier's like, you can tell he's a man on that one.
Queen Radovid?
Yeah, that dude just wanted to be taken.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, he has a one-track mind, that fella. So... that's pretty much that story. Yeah. So that moving that out.
Yeah. So right now Dextra's back in,
and
where they wanted it to be.
All that's going on with Geralt is him essentially trying to get better enough to fight,
healing and fighting. And Tessaia, we get the what's going on there. You know, it's kind of like this is where Tessaia kills herself because she blames herself for everything that just happened because it happened under her nose. Yeah. And she cuts her wrist.
Yeah. And Yen was pretty. bummed about that. That was like, I guess, like a mother figure, like her only family, really. She knew
it's like she hated her, but she grew to appreciate her as the I guess the decades went by.
Seriously, right? So then that's the Yen story, and then the Ciri story is that she's kind of taking up with these bandits or whatever, right? Like,
you know, they're she's like, it's either that or it's, you know, on my own again,
right?
You know,
right.
Which, so yeah.
And I think she even says, like, call me Falca. So she's, like, abandoning this Ciri name.
Yeah.
And throughout the time, we're kind of thinking, too, like, well, wait, who's going to Nilfgaard then, right? They said Ciri was going to Nilfgaard, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even they keep showing the king that used to be, I just think about him as the king that used to be the hedgehog or whatever. He's there and he's ready to, like, welcome in, you know,
his daughter,
right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And sure enough, I mean, like, we see this procession and somebody marches in and then it's like, there you go, whatever. It's like they show that the camera pans around from him to her, and you see it's not Ciri, it's
fake Ciri.
It's that fake Ciri. Yeah. It's the Ciri, the clone.
The one that knows has all the memories though of Ciri. So right. Kind of like, oh, shit, right. Okay.
Which in a way it's kind of nice, right? Because it's like, okay, like let her be set free, right?
Except the, you know, he wants his daughter, obviously, because she has the power.
And they're going to find out that she's not going to have any power. Yeah, so they're going to be like, damn, what happened?
So yeah, it just kind of ends there. You know, it's kind of like, all right, you know, it was, you know, these three episodes were pretty okay. It was all right. But,
yeah. Seeing Geralt kind of like, you know, eventually get back in form too. By the very end, he gets back into form. He's able to fight off these people. And I think pretty much that chick with the bow says, like, I'm going to go with you, whatever. So he's got Jaskier and her.
Yeah, so he's got a little good crew.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for that. That's how that season ends. I guess we'll have to wait and see when it picks up, and we'll be seeing a different Geralt of Rivia.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
It's going to be very weird. Again, I already can't see like somebody else being with Yen because I'm used to seeing, you know, Henry Cavill, but who knows? He may win us over.
Yeah,
right?
He may win us over. Yeah.
I hope that the writing tightens up, AA.
I hope so too. And if there's not, what? That's the thing though. I keep thinking, well, maybe there's not enough material. The material's all written.
And
the only, it's like I told you, they only got 10 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like before where you had to fill up like 22 to 25 episodes, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, golly, like, this could be so much tighter. It's like you said, if you don't need 10, then do 8.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you can even do 6. They did Obi-Wan in 6, and that probably could have used
that
fucking,
one,
like...
That one could have used Andor's episodes of 12.
It could have just... We just kept watching, you know? Yeah. Plus, you had the man, you know, you had Ewan McGregor. Yeah. There, so it's like, come
on. Man, you're talking about, like, a heavyweight story right there.
You could have even cut back and forth between him and the Vader stuff until you had them meet, like, to build the tension, you know what I mean? So, Yeah,
definitely. We could have seen like more of him and Hayden, you know, Jedi training, shit like that.
And even then intermingle, why not intermingle some cutscenes when he's already, you know, a general.
Yeah.
They're both generals.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been
give
fucking
us some
awesome
Clone
too.
War looking shit. The Clone War suits. Oh my God. I think everybody would have fucking blown their loads.
Exactly.
So there's that. So this season of The Witcher was a little tough for me, AA.
It was not
my favorite season. I think I would probably say season 2 might have been my favorite. Even season 1, except for the back and forth time jumping, you know what I mean? But
that one kind of got me, that one.
I did like Ciri the best in this season, though. Like, this is, like, my favorite
Ciri.
She's
gotten so much better. Yes. Like, she's the one that just keeps getting better and better.
I kind of want her to be a Witcher, too. I'm like, let her just be a Witcher.
Cool.
Like, you know, but I know they're going to eventually probably have her, like, live up to her queenness or whatever, which I'm like,
or she's
going to
be super powerful, you know? So, I mean, who knows?
I would just say the writers and producers of that need to start thinking about an end game and how they're going to, like, you know, because what if this stuff with Hemsworth
doesn't because go great? The numbers are already going down on this season.
Yeah.
And who knows what it's going to be like
with him at the, at the helm. Or, yeah. You know, and we need to see, like, I would say if there's any of those other bullshit stories, wrap those up and end, really and end on Ciri Yen and
just start
and
focusing Geralt. On that and that fucking war shit around.
Yeah, people like the action, they like the monsters. Yeah. We hardly had any monsters, he hardly drank that potion this season. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, that's what I think really got people into it was that factor, you know, this monster hunter, you know, in that time with swords and sorcery and shit or whatever, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you know, you almost want it like a when you were reading issues of Conan or whatever, you know what I mean? He's traveling the plains or whatever. Mm-hmm. Hyperia, right? I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the Hyborian Age.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and his adventures throughout that or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's like, you could have easily kept going like that with Geralt. I think that would have kept people engaged. I'm not saying that you cannot have a solitary story that you're weaving through all the episodes. Maybe it's Ciri eventually becoming that queen or whatever, but a fighting queen who can also do magic and do fucking, you know, Witcher fighting skills, whatever, but
yeah,
make that the one common thread. Leave out all these elves and other kingdoms,
know,
politics,
man, there's
and
like
all that,
so whatever, many of them, you know, you know, it's like so much of that shit that you really need to pay attention to, you know, Nilfgaard
and even I think if you're paying attention to it really hard to believe, it's still kind of like it doesn't sit in your mind because it's not that rich a storytelling or whatever, mm-hmm. and the characters are also not that endearing, where you don't even hate them enough to bother hating them by learning their names or whatever. I mean, you know, you're just like,
And that's the thing, like Game of Thrones, you kind of like knew who everybody was, like real easy, you know.
You hate Jaime Lannister, you hate Cersei, you know, you hate Littlefinger,
like you knew the fucking name,
you hate the Boltons or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you knew it, you knew their kingdoms and the Bannermen because you're like, oh man, like it's like, you know.
Yeah, you're like really into it, right, into all the characters.
This is like they've done a good job making the primary characters strong, but they're not strong enough to carry the whole thing. So it's kind of like, all right, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, guys, that was it for The Witcher or whatever, you know what I mean? So it was a solid season three, but
yeah, you can tell it was a kind of a big drop off from you know where it was, and who knows, maybe it's because of all the tension
I agree.
That was going on.
You know? Once again, that was, they didn't even drop that news after the season, which would have been the ideal thing to do, so you could keep the energy going, the momentum going throughout it, where you're gonna have it be like, mm-hmm. you know, okay, we're expecting whatever, but you would put that, I would think, after this season, you would say, oh, by the way, Henry Cavill's not coming back, blah blah blah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's The Witcher, guys. Go back and see our other episode about The Witcher from earlier in this season, about the first half of season three, and then tag it with these like 40 minutes we did on this the end episodes, because it was 5 and then 3, and that was the 8, and that was it.
Yeah.
But with that being said, though, let's move to the next topic now.
Yeah, let's get to
it. All right, guys, so the meat and potatoes of what we're saying, that was your appetizer, that was your warm, that was the salad and the appetizer before the meal, whatever, but we watched, and this has been out for a while, but we watched Adam Eve, guys. If you guys know, last season or a couple seasons ago, I think, we did an episode about the show
Invincible.
I think it's been like two seasons. Yeah, it took a long time, right?
It's taken a animation would come out fucking faster. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Steven Yeun, famously Glenn from The Walking Dead, is the voice of you know, the primary character, Invincible. I forget what his name is, AA.
Who?
Invincible.
Invincible. It is Mark.
Mark. Right. Pearson?
Grayson?
Grayson. Mark Grayson. Grayson. Mark Grayson, Grayson. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've got a great voice cast, a lot of Walking Dead alums in the show Invincible. It's super fun. It's superheroes. It's in the vein of The Boys, though.
But not far. Not going far like The Boys
do. Yeah, not
as far. The Boys is just really fucking... The Boys is over the top on everything, on the violence, on the sex, on the language, on.
But there's definitely violence and sex.
There's violence and sex, but it doesn't go overboard like
the
fucking Boys does.
But it's definitely not like
you're not gonna see someone jerking off from the tallest building onto the city like Homelander.
No one's like Homelander. But yeah. He's real unique, that guy.
Yeah, you're not gonna do, or you know, a one armed burned woman jerking him off to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
or the giant man nutting on mother's milk. You're not gonna see
love sausage around the neck.
You're not gonna see that shit.
Yeah, The Boys is its own thing for sure. But Invincible by Robert Kirkman is, I mean, I would say, you know, right up there with being really, really good and strong storytelling and interesting characters.
And you know what? What's funny though, Sam, is that me and you really don't get off to his writing.
Right.
You know, like we've read Robert Kirkman stuff, mm-hmm. and it's like, man, he's just like, I don't know. I don't know how these like comics like got super popular, honestly. I mean, I don't want to shit on him because obviously the Walking Dead at one time was rivaling anything DC and Marvel was putting out. Yeah. I mean, The Walking Dead, it's its own universe almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multiple spinoffs, multiple shows, and Invincible. You know, I liked what I saw in the cartoon, and it almost really wanted me to start reading Invincible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he really made a really badass hero, you know, and the villain, you know. I mean,
yes.
Omni-Man, like, I really fell in love with Omni-Man. Absolutely. And I was like, damn, this is like another badass, you know, superpowered, you know, villain badass, you know, so yeah.
Well, so much so that people are like already throwing him in the ring, like against
Homelander. Yeah, that was the other thing. Superman. As soon as that cartoon came out, yeah, it was like, you know, oh, you know, he shot to the top, you know.
Yeah, and in fact, in the new Mortal Kombat game that's going to come out, some of the extra characters are Peacemaker, Homelander, and Omni-Man. So,
and
that
you've seen Omni-Man, there. Omni-Man is ultra violent, like, yes. That dude is really super fucking violent on how he gets rid of people.
Yeah,
like it's ugly.
The Viltrumites are sound like they're very fucking scary, like Kryptonians on fucking steroids. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like Kryptonians, if they gave into their violent tendencies and like just were like, oh fuck, we just like a race of killers, you know what I mean?
And so that's actually like, what they kind of are. They send, you know, they send their guys out into different worlds, right, CM?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like, oh shit, and they take over the planet, you know?
Absolutely. So in that show, though, we also get introduced to some other characters, the Guardians of the Globe. Who are like a almost like a Justice League.
Which, yeah, what a great name, too. Like, I always like it when the other companies, you know, when they're doing kind of like their, I don't know, it's homages, parodies, but I was like, you know, Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool, Justice League. They're called Guardians of the Globe. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a cool kind of like...
It's clever, right? It's funny. Yeah. I'm really into that, too, Double A. Like, I love, like, you know, our local grocer, you know, right here, HEB, whatever, they always do... Like, they have a brand of something, right? Like, I can't believe it's not butter. You know what I mean? Like, obviously everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But they have their own where it's like, you wouldn't believe it's not butter. I love that. But I also always have love how The Simpsons does that. You know, like I said, you know, it's like, they don't have the Grinch, they have the Grumple. You know what I mean? Like, the little, you know, Radioactive Man, you know what I mean? Fallout Boy, you know what I mean? Is the sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, little stuff like that is always, I think, really, you know, clever, as opposed to just making it like a complete knockoff of like...
Yeah, because like, even like Marvel in the 70s, they had their... homage to the Justice League Squadron Supreme.
Supreme,
I was like,
right.
Oh, that's a pretty damn cool name too, right?
Yeah,
Squadron Supreme. So I was like, damn. So it's always cool when you hear like the other names. Like what's like another name for Superman?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Omni-Man.
Or when they did isn't there like an Ultraman or something like
that? Yeah, there is an Ultraman too. Ultraman, yeah, there's an Ultraman where I think he has like the U
right
on his chest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's like the Japanese Ultraman also,
there is that one too. Yes, there is that one too. Yes.
In that season of Invincible, like I said, we got introduced to the Guardians of the Globe, Omni-Man, obviously Mark Grayson, who ends up becoming Invincible, and a bunch of other characters, a whole bunch of them, whatever. And again, many of them voiced by some of our favorites from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But we one of the characters we get introduced to is Adam Eve, who. Is she a part of a team? She's part of.
I don't think she was, right?
They become part of the new Guardians of the Globe, right?
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I think she's solo.
Well, she's in that team. That they're called the Teen something or whatever, right?
Oh, they're Teen Titans shit?
Yeah, it's like their version of the Teen Titans, I think. Or even sometimes X-Men, because I guess people always viewed the X-Men as being like kind of like younger or whatever. So, you know, that's why they have, I think, back in the day, it was like Teen Titans versus X-Men or whatever. You know, you might
say there was the two most popular teams of the 80s. Right. Like, they said under Marv Wolfman and George Perez that Teen Titans kicked every other DC's ass's book in terms of sales. Like, that was DC's top book.
Which, while it doesn't sound like you're like, oh, Teen Titans or whatever, it's like,
no,
yeah, but you're like,
yeah,
dude, if you think about it, like, part of your audience probably is vastly teens, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you put in that angst and you put in the romances and all that, it's like,
and then you guys have ever followed, like, Marv Wolfman's fantastic writer, and at that time, George Perez was like top three artists in the comics at that time, you know, so I mean, I can see the appeal.
Oh, no, definitely. That art's incredible.
Yes,
I love looking at those Teen Titans books. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, what
Same
I've
here.
look at how popular that there's the Teen Titans Go cartoon. Then there was that other Teen Titans cartoon. Then they did the Titans show. So the Titans popularity has maintained, and I love that Titans show. And again, too, the interpersonal relationships are great. Obviously, you're going to have parodies of that as well. I think even The Boys has their own, which is going to be getting its own show, right? What is it? Gen V or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, which is, you know, that's like a big story in the comics is when they base their X-Men parodies.
Yeah. Which I think in the Boys, it's the G-Men, right?
Yeah, it's a G-Men. Yeah.
But there's also Teenage Kicks, which is like another teen group, whatever. But do you remember what Adam Eves was called? Was she
I'm
trying to think of her name too. Her name is Samantha Eve, I think, Wilkins. It's in my write-up or whatever, but
Samantha Eve Wilkins.
But obviously, you know, when Mark meets her, he meets her as Adam Eve. She's a babe, you know, like kind of the red hair, green eyes thing again, the Jean Grey look, whatever. She wears this pink outfit, which is why we're kind of doused in pink today. Go ahead.
So I didn't know that Adam Eve was voiced by Julian Jacobs. She plays Britta from the TV show Community. Seen Community. I was like,
I know you're watching your way through it. Yeah. Are you done?
Yeah, I finished that. Oh, okay, and then we just saw her in another series. It's called Love. It was like a really fucked up, like kind of like adult look into a relationship.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
it looks like a babe right there.
It ends on a happy on a happy note.
I thought it was Rachel McAdams you were looking at. Whatever.
Cool. Shit. So yeah.
And she's great. When me and Double A talked about this in Invincible, our Invincible episode, I was saying I liked Adam Eve and Mark a lot better. If we're going to ship people, you know, relationship them, that's who I wanted to see. I did not like his fucking girlfriend or whatever, who as much as I love Zazie Beetz, who I think is the voice, I was like, that chick gets on my fucking nerves. What's her name? I forget what her name was.
I'm sorry.
But whatever, that's okay. Whatever the primary love interest was, I was like, please, Mark, break up with her and go be with Adam
Eve. So real quick, she is part of Teen Team.
Yeah.
Trying to say that shit 10 times.
And she has a boyfriend in that
one. And then it said, when Teen Team soon disbanded, she took part in the tryouts for a new Guardians of the Globe.
Yeah. And she made it, I think, right? But she decided to kind of be solo still?
I believe so. But I really don't remember the Guardians even. There is, I mean, you said there is a new Guardians team, right?
Yeah, because that's where they recruit the robot.
Omni-Man wipes that whole team out.
Yeah, and that's when the government has to recruit the new team, so they get her. A lot of that teen team goes over because it's her, the boyfriend, the chick that can multi-Kate.
That's right.
Multiplying Kate that can multiply herself. Which her boyfriend ends up hooking up with her and the multiples or whatever for a three-way. So I think that's why she leaves the team or whatever. And she's kind of like, you know, hanging out with Mark a little bit. And you're kind of thinking like, oh, is it going to be like a love triangle thing or whatever? But either way, we've been waiting for fucking Invincible to come out. And it's been taking forever or whatever. It's been
a long fucking time. Like, seriously, it's like every fucking thing now that you don't have to do like 20 episodes. It's like now it seems like everyone's just taking their time.
Yeah.
Making sure every episode I guess is good.
And then exactly what me and Double A were saying earlier, where it's like, oh, you know, you could you don't have to announce everything, just fucking let it happen or whatever. This kind of dropping, like, we didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I think I texted you and I was like, hey, there's an Adam Eve.
Yeah, I think you did. And I was like, oh wow. I was like,
and when you go on Prime, Prime Video, you know, the Amazon Prime streaming, it's like you go to Invincible or whatever, and it's like it says season one, then it says season two, and when you go there, it's only this one episode or whatever. And it's actually, I think they call it 202, so it's like episode 202. So I guess because it's like a prequel or whatever, and they're calling it like, you know, I guess it's like Invincible Presents Adam Eve type thing or whatever. But really cool story because it's pretty much like her origin or whatever, and she was one of the characters I really gravitated towards, you know, in the first season. I even bought her a little like figure or whatever to go alongside Mark and then Bloody Mark, and I couldn't get an Omni Man because he was sold out. Yeah, people would loved Omni Man. Yeah. But what did you think about Adam Eve Double A? Were you a person that was, did you like her character?
Was fine. I was more into Omni-Man. I was more into him than all the other characters, but her and Mark's partnership was cool.
Yeah.
This special kind of made me like her more.
Yes.
This 1 hour special, whole origin and shit like that. Yeah. It made me like her character a whole lot more. So I got really into it. It's a really fast watch. It's not that bad.
Straightforward. Kind of what we've been saying has been missing. Amber is the other love interest in the other one. But no, just what we've been saying, right? Like, they told a really solid story in like an hour 20. We're like, okay, guys, like, it can't be done.
You know? Yeah. So.
So it starts out, right, Double A, which we see this one, these lizard people, the Lizard League. They're breaking into a lab to get something, whatever, right? That's how it starts. And it's like a kid, I guess, and like the mom, I assume, or whatever. And they're like, nothing's going to stop the Lizard League, blah, blah. Like, this show leans into heavy, like, kind of like the tropes of superhero stuff that's kind of like hammy and cheesy, whatever. But then it wraps it around like serious shit that you're like, kind of like, oh, fuck, that's kind of dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's part of an experiment. Her birth, her whole thing is, you know, a lab experiment almost.
Yeah.
I guess the mom has some powers or the, you know.
Well, what I grabbed from it, because like I said, that Lizard League is attacking this lab. The Guardians of the Globe show up. They're fucking wrecking the whole place, whatever. So then we see this doctor that's getting trying to get out this woman or whatever, and she's pregnant. And he's like, you know, we're going to get you to the doctor, and I should not have had this to you. Which I guess she was just like a homeless woman.
Yeah, much. Probably.
Yeah, like a Skid Row type person or whatever. And like, I don't think she had powers, but I think that they were saying that they needed like a host that could like hold this pregnancy or whatever. And she was like the only one that could do it. That had succeeded or whatever. So the doctor's driving her to the hospital or whatever to get her help, and he's getting calls, of course, from, I guess, these, like, government types that are like, bring the subject back and blah, 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 you know, we want...
Yeah, obviously, it's, you know, everything's invested in this.
Right.
You know?
And it's a weapon, so they want their weapon or whatever, right? So he's like, he tosses his phone. He's trying to do what's right now, even though...
And again, like Sam said, the fucking place is coming down, because the Guardians and, you know, the Lizard League, they're going at it hard, and then Omni-Man comes and just, you know,
he kind of saves their asses, right?
Yeah,
because,
you
know, like, the roof falling in on
their asses, Kate.
And it's not all of the whole Guardians of the Globe, because I think the Batman type guy is gone and the Flash type guy is not there.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like the Wonder Woman type, which is War Woman, and then I forget the one guy's name. I want to say he's like their Superman or whatever, but
he's supposed to be
clearly like the real Superman of this place, whatever.
And they don't show these, they don't show them very long. It's just, this is like the only time the Guardians come out,
right?
So it's just like a small piece, it's
and not Omni-Man, like too. Yeah, so you kind of like, well, then at the very end. But kind of like to like spin the thread through this or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, because this is a, you know, it's going back to when, you know, Adam Eve was born. And I would say that when we see her in Invincible season one, Double A, she's like, what, maybe 18, 19, something like that. She's pretty young when you see him, you know, because I think Mark's still in school.
Yes,
and you get the feeling they're the same age, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's what's going on. The doctor takes her to the hospital or whatever, and he's telling them, you know, the staff, like, look, this child is going to be a super powered child or whatever. And he's like, you need to be prepared for anything. What's his name, though?
Who's that?
The doctor's name? I'm trying to remember if I could get it real quick. I'll pull it up real quick. But yeah, he's letting them know, like, hey, this is like, you know, they're like, yeah, okay, we're aware that, you know, we've got to, like, do, you know, whatever we've got to do to, you know, make sure that everything's all right. And he's just like, well, no, I'm letting you know that she's going to be super powered, the child or whatever. So they're kind of like, whatever. But then, like, the woman, like, explodes this burst of energy power, like, pretty much knocks everyone over. And in that burst of power, she essentially dies or whatever. So the doctor's all shaken to his core. He's, like, you know, sad or whatever. And you see him look over
at Elias Brandyworth is his name.
Right, right. And he looks over at the scalpel, and you know what he's kind of thinking or whatever, right? So then the next thing we see is, like, the couple that we've seen to be...
Yeah, so they do a switch with that baby and another one.
Pretty much, right.
I think the other family's baby was stillborn. So they tell her, he tells the government that, you know, she didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And Betsy and Adam Wilkins are the ones that that take her in.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen Root is Brandyworth, the voice.
Oh, okay.
Good old Stephen Root. Yeah, so classic switcheroo at the hospital or whatever. And we've seen Eve's parents in the season one of Invincible because they're kind of dicks or whatever.
Yeah,
so
they are. They really are.
Yeah, she's
real always, bad.
They're the classic, like, kind of reminds me of the whole Bobby Drake Iceman parents that are like, oh,
yeah,
like, will you make him better? Will you cure him or whatever? It's like, this is who I am. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can remember, like, she does a couple of things in that house, right, where she, like, makes her door disappear and shit like
that. Yeah, because they're saying, like, man, she's, like, extremely powerful. She can see, like, molecules, like, all around her. And she can kind of switch stuff. Like, she can make stuff just come out.
You know? Like, she turns a sandwich to a hamburger. Like, it's kind of neat or whatever, you know?
Yeah, she can turn shit into anything she wants. I mean, this is, like, kind of, like, big-time power shit, you know? It's like, damn. Yeah.
And when she's getting babysat as a child, like, she's using her Legos to, like, build these.
Yeah, like, which is, like, the babysitter is like, oh, my gosh.
She's
like
a genius.
Yeah, you know she's, like, a fucking genius. She's building, like, molecules. Like, she can see them, and she helped me with my homework. Like,
She
helps him, like, with his fucking math homework. He's, like, in high school, and, you know, she's a baby, you know, like, a 3, maybe 4.
Yeah, like a kid, yeah.
Close, yeah.
But the parents just think she's weird and something's wrong with her, so they're like...
Yeah, like, the dad just keeps going on and on about how fucking weird she is, and the mom's like, why don't you listen?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
The mom's like, let's put her in this special school. I think they think it'll help her. It's not like Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. I think it's just like a...
Yeah, it's just like a... Smart kids. Yeah, smart kids. Yeah, it's no way no mutant school, no superhero school, no, nothing like that.
So she makes one friend. It seems like they're friends for a while, and it shows them, like, in their kind of, like, elementary years, then it clips to, like, their...
Yeah, they go all the way through high school.
Teen years, because she's 12, I think, when she first kind of starts using the powers.
Yeah.
So kind of your classic thing, too, where, like, your powers are going to manifest at, like, I guess, like, a, you know, a puberty-type thing. So that was very X-Men-ish to me.
Very Marvel.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And really, it's nothing happens that makes them come out.
It just shows them, like, again, it's just kind of like, you know, the parents just keep treating her just like she's this weird fucking, you know, kid.
Yeah.
You know, and Val's the only one that really sees her as, you know, a person, a friend, funny.
Right.
You know, she's not stupid. She's not weird. She's just this really cool chick. But then when she starts discovering her powers and she shows Val, Val kind of flips out on her and is like, no, you know, you're not supposed to be doing shit like that. You're weird. You are weird.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the X-Men shit, you know.
Right.
I don't want to be your friend because... You know, you're doing shit that's evil, you know?
I think she sees it because she's stressed out, too, and she's, like, flipping through a book, and then she, like, turns the book into, like, kind of, like, crystals or whatever.
Crystal.
Yeah, and she's like, whoa, and then so she starts to kind of mess with it, like, see if she can do it at will, and she can, except she can't change organic material. So at one point, she sees a squirrel, and she wants to turn it into a puppy, and she can't do that. So,
I mean, shit, when you can make a burger...
Yeah, that's fucking pretty sweet.
Just,
you know,
come out,
like,
or...
Not only that, but I thought she was going to think right away, like, give me a dollar, I'll turn it into $5 or whatever, you know, or $100, you know? So she twitches gum at one point for her friend, like, I changed it from spearmint to cherry, and she's like, what the fuck? So the friend gets freaked out, but then she slowly discovers, like, things she can do with her powers, like, make these little, like, discs to, like, fly on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, like, a whole other thing, right? Like, I mean, like, you're discovering that. I mean, like, there's this cool part where she's kind of making, like, the energy, like blocks, and she's like hopping from them. And I was like, damn, that's pretty cool or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so her power is kind of like, who would you liken it to? AA? Anybody?
Scarlet Witch?
Yeah. Maybe. Or even like, I was kind of thinking like Green Lantern-ish, a little bit with the
Green
ring.
Lantern,
you can like make things, you know, into reality, except for the whole, like, she's rearranging atoms, you know what I mean? So that's why she can turn a sandwich into a burger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, that's a fucking big time power. That's like, Silver Surfer can do shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so, you're altering reality, you know what I mean? So that's also, too, I would say that's very, what's her name? Fucking from the Teen Titans.
Raven, you said?
Yeah, Raven can do shit like that, too. So throughout this, she's discovering this, that man is kind of appearing, like this hobo, whatever, which we know is Brandy.
The doctor,
Yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, he's been in hiding. He's not broke or anything. He just went into hiding so that way the government can never get to him and
or
they can never get to her. Yeah, so he tells her, you know, because she starts already becoming the hero, Adam Eve. And, you know, she's like, she wants, you know, obviously she wants to do the what's good.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to fight crime. But with that happening... And, you know, everybody knows kind of the nature of her powers. It's like you're really exposing yourself to the government.
Right.
They're like, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
That's our work right there.
Yeah. And they thought she was dead.
Yeah.
So, and there's some doctor working with this other guy, whatever, the guy that kind of like filled in for Brandyworth, and he's not nearly as good. So it's a classic, like,
he's making... of course, it's that one scientist, right? Always just that one scientist.
Yeah.
That can always do it, you know?
And of course, the work is always like not nearly as good. Yeah. So it's like there's these like pretty much monsters. That
and they have like a whole bunch of experiments. It sucks. That's kind of like a thing that they did with Cap, too, with Truth, you know, with all the experiments, they try finding the super soldier serum again, and they experiment with all these African Americans during a little after World War II. Yeah. And it's ugly, some ugly, very ugly results.
Yeah, a lot of them have...
And it's like CM said, in this one, though, it's kind of like Kirkman doesn't stay in reality. He takes it, like, overboard where they're, like, very fucking mutated
individuals. Like, I think he says, like, of them, the one that can talk is, like, the closest one. And he's like, oh, I talk for our brothers and sisters because they didn't develop speech or whatever. So they're, like, and they're all, like, looking like, you know.
Yeah, it's just they're all mutated. They all look like...
They look like, creatures. What's his name in RoboCop when he gets the acid dumped on him? Emil, yeah. And he's all like, ooh. Yeah. Like, a combination of, like, Emil and Sloth and, like, Toxic Avenger. So basically, they're not
exactly.
They're not very good looking. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, you know, her. I mean, I think at one point he's like, he tells her when she ends up fighting the brother towards the end, he's like, she's like, you're gonna kill us both. And he's like, it'll be worth it to see you see the life drain from your perfect eyes, because she is like, you know. I mean, at the point she's 12, whatever.
At that point,
she's like a regular looking little girl.
Exactly. At that point, you're just like, wow, anything compared to us is like perfect looking.
Yeah. So. And they're definitely like not going to be able to like get normal jobs.
They're never going to. Yeah. If you come out, I mean, people are going to be screaming, you know.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So she kind of goes to the discovery parts. Like Double A said, she's kind of like starts superheroing on her own. Just, I guess she wants to like test herself or whatever. And she has a couple of like, you know, little like mishaps with these like, pretty much like thieves, right? They're like,
yeah,
they're super powered. They've got like, you know, robot arms and shit like that, whatever, but she bests them pretty easily. So, you know, but the guy comes out, Brandyworth, and he's like, hey, look, I know who you are. I can tell you more about your past, but you got to stop using your powers because they're going to catch you. And she's like, dude, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, of course, I like her initial attitude. Is she's like, oh, I got to talk to you. Like, fucking, like, yeah. Who are you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he does end up revealing to her. But I love that part too, where he's like, you know, she's like, oh, so I'm adopted? And he's like, well, yeah. And then she's like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, because I mean, man, those parents are just terrible. Like, man.
Yeah, they're not great. And they're not even like excited about the fact that she can do these things or whatever, you know? So she meets with Brandyworth or whatever. She trades, you know, him some food for information, but I think he would have gave it to her anyway because like he's eager for her to be like, not get caught, you know? So, that happens, but all of that, even their meetings, leads to, you know, eventually just these government types knowing that she exists.
And then they send those other experiments after her.
Yeah, I think he says there's like 3, 4, and 5 yeah. or 2, 3, 4, and 5 uh-huh. or something like that.
But they all, you know, die in that battle, which leaves her really fucked up,
yeah.
You know, in the head, you know.
And I like her attitude too. At one point she's like, oh, so you guys are like less versions of me. She's like, that should make this easy. And I was like, oh, damn, like she's not going to hold back or whatever, which again, she's 12.
You know, and they're not holding back either.
No, they're definitely not. They're like fucking tearing up the city, tearing up the road.
They're upset. They're pissed off. They're like, you know, like, you came out fucking perfect. How come we didn't come out like that too? Like, you need to fucking die, you know?
Yeah. Although I think the government types want her back.
They want her back. Yeah, obviously, because she's the one that came out perfect, you know?
Right. So, yeah, and they still feel like that's their property. Yeah. So, they fight, she defeats them, but I think somehow, how do they end up back at the lab, Double A? Because she finds out that the mom is alive.
Yeah, because she's weakened.
Oh, okay.
She's weakened during the fight because they beat her so much, too, that, they get
her. Yeah, because she's got that big shield over her and Brandyworth, and she's like, you can see her nose is bloody and, like, you
know. Yeah, they get her and Elias, the doctor, and they were, yeah, like you said, they reveal that, you know, the mom's still alive. They used her still, I guess, to see if they can have another, you know,
to Eve. Birth those other ones. Yeah. And she Eve tells them when she's under that force with Brandyworth, she's like, how come they, because they can move their bodies are like sludge. So they can like, you know, like, it's not like Plastic Man. It's weird. They move kind of like Clayface.
Yeah.
Like where Clayface is like,
yeah.
It's like all this like your organic material and shit. So it's like weird. It's gross.
Yeah. During this, you know, time she gets out and, you know, but the doctor and her mom dies.
Yeah,
both of them die, and this like really pisses her off. Where she like, lets out this massive like energy.
Because before that, Brandyworth had told her, he's like, "Well, I'm not a complete monster. I didn't make it where you could change organic material, that I put a block in you or whatever. But pretty much upon their deaths and being in that lab with those scientists, that's when she, I think, breaks that block.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she goes, I can see everything now. She's like, I can rearrange your molecules to make you not the monsters that you are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she's like on a base level or whatever, but she pretty much just says, I'm going to make you forget.
Yeah. You know, she fucking erases, yeah, their memories. It's like, holy shit. You know,
pretty awesome display of power right there.
Very, you know what I mean? Very big display. She goes home, you know, it was her birthday.
Yeah,
they give her the shit about it, you know, all of it
missing out, you know, that she had made her a cake, whatever. The dad's a dick. He had ate them
real bad. Yeah, yeah, like, that is like real bad
problem. Yeah,
yeah. And she, you know, she goes in her room because of just everything that's happened. Just, you know, I guess you can say maybe they're her brothers, and you know, her mom's dead, and you know, the doctor's dead. The one person that can really go into detail about you know, who she is and all that kind of stuff, and. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, shit, that's a lot to, pretty heavy shit right there.
And she takes that picture, she has a picture of her, the mom and the dad, and she, you know, with her power, she changes it to, she makes the brothers look normal, and she has the doctor there and her mom, which is kind of like, kind of sad or whatever, you know, a little sad end to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it's pretty cool. I was actually watching it right now, like my second time watching it before we came over to record, and my dad was like, what are you watching? And he sat down and started watching with me. He watched almost all of it. He was like, that's pretty cool. What is that show called? And I was telling him, I was like, oh, it's just one episode.
He never saw Invincible with you?
No, he didn't watch Invincible with me, so I was like, oh, you should watch the other one.
Like, would he have been into it?
I think he would have. Yeah, I think he would, because he seemed to get into that one or whatever, and like, I've convinced him to watch a couple other things. Although, you know what? I haven't gotten to sit down and like, watch The Boys, like really commit to it or whatever.
Man,
you know?
I think he would love The Fucking Boys.
Yeah.
That's like right up his alley.
Definitely. But yeah, so I got to get him to, he seemed interested enough to want to watch this one.
Man,
whatever.
You got
to
set The Boys.
For sure, man. I'm telling you, I'll sit down for a good rewatch on that one. It's been a while.
Every time I see an episode, man, I just get like hooked right back into The Boys all over again.
You just like, start like burning through them too, you know what I mean?
It's fucking guys.
It's too much, man. It's fucking too much. But yeah, and you think that's pretty much the end, right? Because the credits roll, right?
Yeah.
Don't they? But then, you know, again, we want to have the thread to take us back to the main show, Invincible or whatever, and we get this kind of mid-credit scene. And it shows the house that we recognize as Mark's house, right? AA. And there's his mom, who's voiced by Sandra Oh, and she's chopping vegetables or whatever. And, and in walks Mark Grayson. No, not Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
The dad's Mark. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the son is what?
No, the Mark is Invincible.
And what's the dad's name?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
In fact, I have it right here too. Nolan.
Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan flies into the back door and she's like, oh, you're home early. He's like, yeah, it was a light day. You know what I mean? Like, again, he had just helped like, oh, no, that's not the same day because that was a while back.
Whatever. Yeah,
but, you know, she's chopping up vegetables, whatever, and then you know, in runs Mark, you know what I mean? A young Mark, whatever, probably you know, the same age as
Ethan. Help me out, because I was thinking, I was like, man, did he just, is that supposed to be episode one? Where he just killed the Guardians?
No. No.
Okay, because I kind of remember him coming, I think.
Yeah, no, because Mark's too young. This one. Remember, he's little, and he's still hoping about his powers. He knows his dad is a superhero.
Okay.
But he's got duct tape all over, and he's like, Dad, if I don't get my powers, I'll be duct tape man. And she's like, oh, you know, like, classic, you know, mom, she thinks he's silly or whatever, and she tells him, hey, finish dinner while I go help him, like, get this
out.
And he just gets, like, a pissed off face,
because he's like, man, he's like, this kid's never... Well, not just that, but it's like, this kid's never going to get his fucking powers. Like, he should have already been born with them, and it's like,
which it's is his whole point there, right? Yeah, that's his whole, like, to kind of colonize us.
Yeah. And he gets killed pissed, and then it's kind of like, he's about, it looks like he wants to murder both of them, and then it's like, and then he remembers, he's like, no, like, it's almost like a human part of him comes out a little bit, like, no.
Well, remember,
it's my son, you know?
So. Yeah. And if you get to Invincible, you know, season one, I mean, you could potentially watch this before that and not seen Invincible.
That would actually be a lot better. Like, if you've never seen Invincible, see this one first. See Adam Eve first.
That would be an interesting way to watch it.
And then go into Invincible. And I think it would help a lot.
Yeah. But what we learned to find out in Invincible, again, spoilers, if you haven't seen Invincible yet.
Which, I mean, it's probably been almost 2 years.
Stop it here then. If you're like, oh, I'm going to watch Adam Eve, then watch it. So stop it here. I'm going to spoil it. Spoilers are coming. you know, when he finally talks to Mark about it, he's like, you know, what about mom? Don't you love her? He's like, I love her the way you love like a pet. You know what
I mean? I was like, damn, it's brutal. Like the way Omni-Man just kind of lays it out. It's like nothing really stuck to him.
So I guess
nothing at all.
But, you know, again, in this moment, he kind of shows a little bit of conflict.
A little bit, yeah, where there's a little bit. But, man, towards the end, it's like there is no,
well, I think once he knows Mark has powers, then it's
like 95% of it's not. It's like no conflict whatsoever. Like,
yes, I agree.
Like he even uses his son to kill people, like pretty violently. And he stops pounding on his son, like when he keeps calling him like dad, you know. Yeah. And that's when Omni-Man gets fucking pissed and flies off instead of killing him. Which, yeah, it's brutal. Like that
very
brutal man. You know?
It's a very worthwhile watch, and this is a very nice opening, I think, to the world of.
But yeah, it's a little creepy, like even cartoon form when they show Omni-Man kind of like where he's about to go off the hinge, and then he kind of like controls himself. It's kind of like shit. Like, like holy fuck, you know.
And in that one, we see too kind of where we know like Mark is not up to Nolan's standard at all. Like he gets fucking rocked. I mean, like what he's got.
I mean, he's happy. Happy when he gets his powers. He's like, oh fuck yeah! You don't have to die.
Yeah,
you
know. And I think he feels too finally like, oh, now the plan can start going forward. Like I've been waiting for this or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he's like, fuck yeah! I don't have to kill him. And like he said, I have a partner now.
Which why do you think Dumbly like? Why wasn't he just making a bunch of kids? You know what I mean? Like to see which ones would come out.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't even supposed to be. Maybe he wasn't even supposed to be. Maybe you know the. I mean, because you would think by doing that, that would, their fucking power would be split, you know? I mean,
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they figure you just need two of them to just...
Maybe, yeah. Maybe you don't need to be like Ego. Yeah, you'd be like Ego and fucking have kids with all these aliens.
That's what he was doing. What does he say in Fight Club? Dude's setting up franchises. But yeah, so it's interesting right there because they do come back to the Grayson family and like, you know, you see Omni-Man like with his face of anger.
Like I said, it's pretty creepy. It's a pretty creepy part.
Yeah, and then he just kind of goes back to...
Because if you've seen Invincible, man, the man just is totally unhinged. Just,
right.
He's all about taking over the Earth.
And even in that first episode, you know, you're kind of like thinking like, you don't know that till the very end and you're like, what the fuck is this?
You know, and you're thinking, who's going to stop him? Because there's like no... person or anything, no alien, no person that can stop this man.
It's like, and they don't really seem to know what to do either. You know what I mean? Like it's like we're like, oh well, fuck, we never expected this. You know, we took some precautions, but really we were fucking outclassed. So there was no way around it. It's a very cool show. Invincible is very, very cool, and I really loved Adam Eve too. I thought it was a good watch. You know, like I said,
no, it was real good. I was surprised how good it was.
Like
good I said, setup. It was a real good setup. Cool origin, cool story. Real tight. Like CM said, I don't even know if it was an hour and 20. I felt like it was like less.
It might have. Yeah, I think it might be like an hour and 18.
You know,
like
that, again, but... real super tight story that you got in a better story than most other shows do in an hour.
I agree. I felt like it did what it had to do. It gave us action, gave us good story. And it was like, I was like, see, there you go. It can be done, guys. It can be done. You know what I mean? So, but I super enjoyed it. If you guys get a chance, you guys at Amazon Prime. Yeah. Prime Video.
Yeah.
Check out Adam Eve, especially if you haven't seen Invincible.
You don't have to pay anything. It's there.
Free
to watch. Yeah.
Service.
Yeah. Have Prime. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to start Invincible, but you don't know where to start, like you can start with that one. You can start with episode one also. Then
you can watch either or. It doesn't matter.
It's so great that they did it that way, right? Like it's set up where you could start with this and then lead in. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, guys, that's it. I mean, I don't think we have anything else really, right? Double A. Yeah, guys, we're keeping it short this week for you guys. We'll be back next week. We'll be totally live. We could be talking about, we don't know what. It could be Blue Beetle. It could be something else that happens between now and then.
It's going to be September, too, I think, when we come back live. So, yeah.
Okay, so we'll be back live in September. My birthday month, so we'll have something exciting for you there. We will have one other pre-recorded show in September, I can tell
probably
you guys.
Probably mid-September,
but we'll give you guys a heads up on that or whatever. We'll try to make it a good one.
I think we might be able to get two episodes in live. Before that one happens.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it'll give us time to realize, like, what do we want to talk about, like, that won't require... Because we want to leave, like, the really good topics for you guys to be able to come in and chime in and join with us. You know, especially if we're covering, like, a comic book you guys suggested or something we really want to talk about. We wanted you to be able to be here and interact. But we felt like these two things were something that we could just kind
of
give to you guys, and then we'll see what you get back. So we'll have something definitely prepared. I know, you know, you lent me the Emperor Doom. You know maybe that might be something we can do.
Well, because I did that because Sam said, like, he's like, you know, he's a big Doctor Doom fan.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, what's the essential kind of like Doom stories? And that's always like one of them I had always seen, that Emperor Doom. And then he has a story with Doctor Strange that's like really super iconic now.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it's pretty cool. Him and Doctor Strange team up. It's a really cool pairing.
Nice.
And, you know, I mean,
in that book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, so we're trying to find like some really good, like kind of short but essential reads of Doom.
Yeah.
That maybe we can cover because we're big fans of Doctor Doom.
I've had some really cool moments with my nephew in the last couple of, like, well, like one was probably about maybe like, I don't know, a few weeks ago, right? Where he comes in, he goes, you know, he's like, Uncle, do you have, you know, Amazing Fantasy, you know, 15, whatever? Yeah, and I was like, yeah. Well, I don't have it, but I have, you know, you can read it. Yeah. Like, I have mm-hmm. a version you can read. So I let him read the collected version, yeah. whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know, he wanted to read, like, issue one, whatever. I couldn't remember the last time I read, you know, for Amazing Fantasy 15, you know, the last Amazing Fantasy where Spider-Man comes out. You know what I mean? Where his first appearance, but it was the last issue, right? I think of Amazing Fantasy before it switches to...
Yes, it was... they didn't do any more canceled. Amazing Fantasy. Yeah, it was going to get canceled. That's why Stan Lee did it, because it was like, if it doesn't hit, you know, that's fine. Whatever. It's already going to be canceled anyways.
But it was so neat to me that, like, you know, this 10-year-old wants to read that, whatever. So then yesterday, like, my real, you know, that was amazing, but then, you know, the real dream was the other day, he says, you know, Uncle Charlie, I want to learn more about Superman or whatever. And I was like, okay, like, let's talk about that. And then he was like, do you have the first issue? And I was like, yeah, I have it. You can read because I have that collection we got.
Okay,
the 80-year one that we
that's
got.
That's right. That's right.
I think so. That's the first story in there, whatever. Okay. So he sat and read Action Comics number one or whatever, and he was like, "Oh, it's a cool story." He's like, "I like it."
It was,
like,
That's
like a modern 10-year-old reading this, like, you know, 85-year-old story, and it's still like a good story. You know what I mean? Like the classic story we know. But I was telling him, I was like, if you want to learn more about him, I was like, the same thing with Spider-Man. It's like, watch those 90s cartoons, man.
That's good. Especially if Superman one too. I think you would enjoy those.
Yeah.
The animated series.
Definitely.
That would be a really
to learn good the too. Villains, to learn kind of, you
that's
know,
what I did.
The Superman.
That's how family. I learned all the villains from Superman. That's how I was like, man, this dude has a really good rogues gallery.
Yeah.
How come we're always seeing just Lex Luthor and all of them?
Exactly.
You know? I was like, damn, they made Parasite a badass. They made Metallo a badass. Mm-hmm. You know, they made Mixopick a badass villain.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, damn. I mean, it was like, shit. This dude has a really good rogues villain.
It's like we said with Batman the Animated Series too. There's so many episodes to love. You know what I mean? Like some of my favorites don't even involve like the big villains, which like the ninja Joker. Ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
like
it's
I'm
that
like,
one.
Oh, those are so dang good.
That cartoon made me fall in love with Scarecrow. Those Scarecrow episodes were real good.
Mr. Freeze.
Was obviously the one that blew up the most out of everybody.
We were never like the hugest Mr. Freeze fans, but then it's like that show really makes you love him. So those are great for that. But yeah, so we'll definitely be back live next week. Again, we don't know the topic yet, but we're going to figure out something good for you guys. And then when we do that one off-air show, the pre-record, we'll make it something good that'll let it marinate in your mind and then come back and bring us your thoughts, whatever. But other than that, we'll keep it like Adam Eve length today, huh? Double A and short and sweet. Anything else to add?
I think Ahsoka is going to come out Tuesday now.
Yep, that will
not
be
Wednesday.
Out. Yeah.
So
not the 23rd, but the 22nd?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn. And we definitely do, guys, before we will definitely cover that show when it ends, no doubt. But in our time that we're watching that show, I think me and AA both plan to go and revisit some of the previous, so quote unquote, essential watching for Ahsoka.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah, and we may end up doing like an episode that's just about like the essential watch stuff or whatever. But I'm pretty sure all of us will be watching that in real time.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I may be watching some of that and some of this. So we'll see how much I can get done in a couple of days. But yeah, guys, without. Not anything else to add.
I guess by this point you'll be listening. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Have a good Friday. Have a good rest of your night. Have a good weekend.
And a good we don't have one more show in August. I thought we did.
I think that's it.
This might be it. Yeah. Okay. Well then we'll see you guys in September. guys, something we'd like to say at the end of every show that we'd like to remind you, what we like to say, words we try to live by, is that, guys, if there's something that you want to do, a hope, a dream, something that you want to accomplish, go out there and do it. Today's the day. Seize the day. Don't waste any time. There's no time like the present, guys. Carpe diem. I would definitely say that we saw a lot of seizing the day, you know what I mean, with Adam Eve, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? She definitely went out there and wanted to take full advantage of her powers and went right to saving people, which might not be... Yeah. You know, or stopping crime, at least it might not be all of our first choices. I might be like, damn, how can I get some money? You know,
yeah, no share, right? Yeah,
you know, can I rearrange my mortgage towards paying off share, the right? molecules on that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not greedy, I don't want a lot of bills, you know what I mean? So I just don't want any bills, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Samantha Eve definitely seized the day, you know what I mean, when she took on the mantle of Adam Eve. And the other thing we'd like to say is to quote the great Captain Steve Rogers, Captain America himself, as they go back on the time heist in Endgame. He reminds the Avengers that they have to do whatever it takes. And guys, sometimes that is what you have to do in order to seize the day, is to do whatever it takes. Definitely Adam Eve embodies that. Geralt embodies that. Siri. Yeah. Yennefer, I think they all of the Witcher people embody that. So, guys, seize the day, do whatever it takes. We're just another Friday night, San Antonio's premier pop culture podcast with P Breaks, live with you most Friday nights. We ask that
I say like 97% of the time.
Yeah, 97% of the time. We ask that you guys join us. I am not going to give you guys a word for the contest, because for all I know, Collecting Weekly could hit 3,000 before this comes out. Right. So I don't want that. So we'll wait and see what happens with that before we do that. But if you haven't checked it out, go check out their contest. They have it there for the Carnage Hot Toy. But again, since we're recording in the past and you'll hear this in the future, it might not be still going on, so we'll see. But yeah, guys, come check us out again next week. We hope that you'll be here with us. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you then.
Yeah.
All right, good night.